ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Berger into left center field, high and deep, and it is gone. Jake Berger with a pinch hit two-run shot, and the White Sox lead it 3-2.
Oh, the Burgermeister at his best. Got on a fastball up high and yanked it out of here to left center field. Oh, that felt good. I know that felt good for Jake Berger.
You need a win, and sometimes you really need a win, right?
Well, I mean, we needed a win, but 10-0 would have been nice. Yeah. Nicer, but not the way it came down. Just get fighting, get frustrated, and boom, boom. You know. And then we had to survive the eighth inning, I think. Griffin does it on purpose, and when he does it, the Liam just goes 1-2-3. I'm convinced they mess with me just to age me. But we talked about it. It's exactly how we played the first four games in this road trip, and we go up short, and this one we didn't. It's a testament to never give in, never give up.
Jake Berger in that situation.
I told him he did not start again. I said, yeah, he's going to be a pinch hitter. That's it. Until tomorrow. I mean, he's got a flair, doesn't he? When he hits them, they're big. They're important ones. So. I mean, the part of it that you're sitting there thinking, it's not possible. The guy's ball to his bat. It spins off his glove, and that's the run, right? And there's a ball that he did a good job putting in play. That second run, you think, man, come on. But we found a way to overcome it.
Is Berger's hit the kind of thing that just lights a spark? The timing of it and just to break the skid?
There's no doubt when you have one like that, get you excited and you got a better chance to do it again. But we've been frustrated so much on this road trip without the big one. Now the guy that pitches tomorrow has a lot to do with if we can keep it up for both sides.
You mentioned the bottom of the eighth, the play by Mendick to get the last out.
That was gold star. I mean, the guy's any little hesitation, off throw, he's safe. He's valuable.
ESPN 1000, Hemi and Xander, as our producer Charlie pointed out, that's the jovial Tony La Russa handing out gold stars and telling the press that his players are messing with him. Yeah. It was fun to listen to, but I mean, come on. Remember how vocal he was in the 80s first time around with the White Sox. And yeah, you know, he's older, he's more low-key, but that's the jovial Tony La Russa.
And he's right, though. 10-0, nice 10-0 would be nice, and for a manager, it'd be easier for him. And
easier, you know, on the old ticker.
Getting out of the eighth inning the way they did, and Mendick making the play, but getting out of bases loaded jam, as you said, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, no. Now, you know, all that was
hard,
for naught.
It's hard not to say, oh, no. And I said it. I had some people over, and I'm like, oh, no. And people look at me. I go, this happens every time.
Yep. Yeah, Tony's not the only one feeling the stress of that, right?
Yeah, we all are. Yeah.
And, you know, and Jake Berger, and he talked about guys delivering, and he was joking that, you know, he's not starting because he needs to be pinch hitting and delivering. But the fact that he had the walk-off single in the 12th versus the Cubs, that was the last win for the White Sox, right? So he's been coming up in big situations, which is why you want to see more of him, certainly. And, you know, a lot of guys contributed in that one inning, but I'm with Tony. You know, you'd like to have a laugher now and again, sprinkled in there.
It would be nice, and we had a few of those last year. Remember the one where your mean Mercedes got in trouble?
Yeah.
312-332-3776. And by the way, kudos to Darren for using Burgermeister. I was waiting for somebody to drop that at some point on Jake Berger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely does. Starting lineup for the White Sox today, Danny Mendick leading off.
Hoping for Grandal again.
No, you were hoping for Garcia. No. Yeah. No, Danny Mendick is leading off. He's earned that. He's playing short. Andrew Vaughn, right field. He's batting second. You've got Luis Robert in center. Cleaning up things, Mr. Abreu, DH. Jake Berger batting fifth, playing third. Grandal's at first base today. Hopefully with that first base mitt, somehow that inspires the bat. We'll see. We've got Pollock in left field batting seventh, McGuire catching batting eighth, and Harrison back in the lineup. He's at second base. Don't mind his glove at second base. We just have to get him to hit in that second leadoff spot.
Yeah, it's a big game. I mean, it's a big game to beat a good team and take the series after the way it started. And scratching out the game yesterday, everyone should celebrate that. But it's time to start stringing games together. And too many of the 3-4 and 5 game losing streaks. You need to start hitting the accelerator here and start to put the feel good together on a daily basis, right?
Well, yeah, and they saw what they did last night. They battled. They didn't have a great performance from Dylan, but it was good enough, and they were able to get that lead and then hold on to it. And these are things that they haven't been able to do consistently. So they put the plan in place last night. It's not going to be that easy every day, but they see that that's got to help the confidence, right? And as being as loose as Tony was last night, everybody kind of celebrating. They're not celebrating big, but they know that that was one that they could build on. And that's what they need to do again against Ryan Yarbrough, who is pitching for Tampa Bay. He's 0-2. We've got Lucas on the bump. He's 3-2, 3.61 ERA, 59 strikeouts. Lucas maybe not doing as great as he was last year, but he certainly has had some setbacks.
Needs to bounce back from the last start, right? Needs to get back to feeling like when you hand him the ball, you expect a W, right?
And so,
yeah. Look, the attitude in the clubhouse, and Connor addressed it. I assume a lot of Sox fans feel frustrated, more frustrated than the team lets on, if they are frustrated at all, because they don't sound like they're frustrated at all. But this team was supposed to be thinking not just winning the division. It was supposed to get out of the make a run in October, not sit here and scuffle and be looking at and wondering if Detroit's going to leapfrog you and now you'll be in fourth place. The expectations carry a lot of responsibility, and the front office didn't think they'd be sitting here in third place with a losing record and not being able to beat winning teams on a regular basis.
And as you've mentioned, they're lucky to be in third place because of the way they perform. The run differential doesn't really indicate that they deserve that much. So hopefully that is a good sign of things to come.
The scary part of that, Mark, is we're talking about the expected wins and losses based on runs scored and runs allowed.
Yes, that is scary.
The White Sox 24-27 in actual wins and losses. The expected wins and losses, given their production offensively and the runs allowed, 19-32 would be the current expectation. Right. And Cleveland is actually underperforming. They're 23-25.
Except when they play us.
But their expected wins losses as they sit here today would be 27-21 because they have a plus 25 run differential.
That certainly does matter. Now, when Jimenez comes back, all we can do is hope that he can stay healthy. TA, we need him, but again, we have enough talent on this team. I've been banging the drum on this that we should be able to win without him, but we definitely need him back. And Grandal and Mancata, those bats have to start doing something. They have to play at least half of their potential would be a big help right now.
Yeah, we have a Twitter poll at ESPN 1000, and it's for Cub fans up on the north side because you were spoiled for choice, at least for a day, and Matt Schwarmer has put together back-to-back good starts, impressive starts. But Caleb Killian certainly delivered a big time in his debut. And for Cub fans, who was more impressive on Saturday? Was it Matt Schwarmer or Caleb Killian? You can pick that up at ESPN 1000 or at Brian Hanley 534.
You could jump on the radio with us here and discuss it. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk about what happened on the north side and pick your pitcher there, and tell us, I'm really interested if Cubs fans are really be able to let go of the obvious outcome this year, that they're not going to do anything really, really big, but just to be able to celebrate these little victories. Morel, when Suzuki was hot, and when he comes back, hopefully he can, he's a big name on the team. They spent a lot of money on him. If these little victories
are really making baseball on the north side enjoying for you. You're getting some enjoyment out of this year, even though they're not going to have a World Series berth. It's not going to happen.
No one's getting the double-decker buses cleaned up for the parade.
Now, that can wait a little while.
Yeah, but, you know, Morrell's got a 19-game on-base streak, right? And it's a club record for a rookie to come up there and do what he's done.
That's
crazy. I mean, he's been involved in delivering wins when they do get them, right? It's not just at-bats that don't mean anything. He's delivered big time, which is why Jason Hayward is going to be sitting on the Pines for a while. And when it came to Schwarmer, you look at what he did. He's the first Cubs rookie to go 6-plus innings with no more than one earned run allowed in each of his first two starts for Cubs pitcher since 1939. And I'm sure you remember, you probably have the baseball card in your bicycle spokes. Gene Lillard. He was the man in 1939. Schwarmer, keep going. And it's... you know, he's getting strikeouts, and he's got four pitches that he's using well and mixing them up. And, you know, he looks like you have some staying power. You want to see more of it, and you will see more of it moving forward. But if he can keep consistently delivering and giving you 5-6 innings, and Caleb Killian can start doing it. Interesting, Killian in Iowa was limited to about 80 to 90 pitches in most of his starts. And I think yesterday he ended up with 83. So they were right on schedule with him. David Ross let him go out in the fifth inning after he got bruised a little bit in the fourth inning, and he was able to have a clean inning and call it a day. So lot to like yesterday. 312-332-3776. If you're a Cubs fan and you were watching or in attendance, I mean, the fact that they drew 64,000 people with the split doubleheader yesterday, I don't know if that reduces the rates of the Hotel Zachary rooms or they went up to $2,000 for 2 nights.
You know it doesn't.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. We'll take a pause here, come back, talk baseball on the north side or the south side. And I promise we're going to get to that Matt Nagy thing because I miss Matt. And
we're serving up Matt Nagy word salad for lunch today.
Yeah, right. It'll be an early lunch as we're out of here at noon. So we'll get to all that after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
And your radio home for the Chicago White Sox from Tropicana Field today at 12:40 game time. Connor McKnight will be on the call on the radio side, and Dion Miller will have the pregame starting at 12 noon here following us. It's Brian Henley and Mark Zander on ESPN 1000. And Brian, you were talking about how Danny Mendick joined Tyler Aki on White Sox Weekly, and we're going to hear a bit of that because, you know, it's refreshing to hear somebody who, look, Danny is a guy who's been fighting for his existence here on the White Sox.
Absolutely.
And every time he comes up, Ryan, over the past few years, he's been a spark plug, right? And we've got a lot of talent on this team, and right now we're a little short with TA being out. So to have Danny up here and really respond has been really refreshing. So we're going to hear from Danny Mendick, guest of Tyler Aki on White Sox Weekly this week.
For me, I enjoy playing baseball. So whether it be in Charlotte, Chicago, once I step in between those lines, it's like, you know, let's go. And I try to help the team in any way I possibly can. And, you know, like I said, wherever it is, that's what it is. But I'm going to give it 110% all the time.
You coming up and you're replacing Tim Anderson. We've talked a little bit on this team about how tough of an ask that can be for someone who is a catalyst atop the lineup. He's made some amazing plays in the field as well. What goes into your mindset day in and day out of, I'm stepping in for that guy?
Yeah, you know, Timmy's my guy. So I've, you know, been behind him and I've been on this team and we talk a lot and I see the way he prepares. And I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete and baseball player. And to be able to step in for a guy like that, you know, it's tough, but I know my ability. I know what I can bring to this team. And, you know, you get out there and go out there and play my best and, you know, just do what I can to help the team, bring the energy. I think that's one thing that Timmy does really well is he has a lot of positive energy when he plays. You know, the guys rally around him. He's one of those guys where when Timmy's hitting, you know, everybody's hitting because he just makes it fun. So it's you know, it's one of those things when, you know, you never want to see a guy go down like that. But it gives me an opportunity, and, you know, opportunity allows me to be the baseball player that I am. So that's what I'm here doing.
So you got called up, back up, I should say, about a week ago now, and your first three starts, you have two-hit game. What allowed you to sort of find your rhythm as quickly as you did when you got called back up?
You know, I went back down to Charlotte. You know, didn't really look at anything besides I'm just going to go play baseball. And got to go get some at-bats, see some pitching. And, you know, you fall in a groove a little bit once you start to see some pitching on a consistent basis. And then Timmy goes down and, you know, you get an opportunity and you come in midway in that game. And, you know, I guess I just have been trusting my process and trusting my routines and come in that game. And then, you know, you get four at-bats, you get two hits. So it's like, okay, you know, that's a start. And then you keep rolling it over into the next couple of days. And it's just a confidence thing once you start to, you know, see the ball drop a little bit, start to feel a little more comfortable and realize, you know, the plan that you have is working, so to stick with it.
312-332-3776. Even Danny Mendick talks about T.A. and the energy that T.A. brings and how the guys rally around him. When T.A. is on the bench, he's still doing that, but he's not able to do that on the field. It'd be nice to see somebody kind of pick that up a little bit. I know not anybody is just Tim Anderson the way they approach the game, but that would be nice. And as you said, a little more fire out of Tony, Brian.
Well, you know what? And also Danny Mendick apparently could play for the 76ers because he's trusting the process. So that's always good.
nice crossover.
But yeah, and Tyler Aki doing a terrific job on White Sox Weekly and being part of the White Sox broadcast team and doing great work and getting great information from Danny Mendick, who's, you can just hear in the voice. I mean, like, you heard it from Caleb Killian, you heard from Matt Schwarmer. These guys, as you said, are fighting for their MLB lives every time they get an opportunity. And some are getting their first opportunity in Caleb Killian and Matt Schwarmer. And you know, Danny's trying to make every opportunity the last trip down to Charlotte, right? I mean, he's just trying to get some staying power here. But the earnestness of his approach, and he said, you know, the confidence he has in his own ability. He can't be Tim Anderson. He's not going to be Tim Anderson, but he can be a pretty damn good ball player in Danny Mendick. So it's great to hear. It really is. And, you know, hopefully this all starts falling into place with a lot more consistency than because you need more games like yesterday. And as Tony said, you know, the 10-0 laugher wouldn't be so bad either if you could sprinkle a couple of those in per week. You know, well, even 5-0.
It would be nice. We had our fair share of those last year, and that's the difference between last year and this year. Last year we had injury issues. This year we've had them probably worse this year, arguably so, than last year. But Danny Mendick coming into this season, and I'll be the first one to admit it, I did not look at him as somebody that might stick with the team, and certainly he'll have a hard time when everybody's back. But I've really been more impressed with him now than I have his whole tenure up and down with the White Sox, because he is coming at a very crucial time, and he is really responding. And, you know, look, that base running gaffe aside, he's going to learn from that, and he has been a positive on this lineup, and it's just good to see to him starting off. I mean, he's leading off the lineup today at shortstop, and Garcia's got a day off, so we'll see how this turns out. But you know, Abreu, he's coming to play. Like, we knew he would show up eventually.
Yeah, he had the 12-game hit streak snapped yesterday. He had
they started a new one, Brian.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that guy is going to be there when it's all said and done. You're going to see a lot. Jose Abreu is going to be the guy you expect him to be by the end of the season. He's already started warming up here. So it's good to see. I mean, and it's hopefully the health starts coming back, but hopefully more the consistency defensively and mostly offensively. And we went chapter and verse yesterday about these offensive numbers. I mean, they have to be better. And I know it's incremental steps you take, but you better start taking them a little bit more quickly as you move forward here.
Because, look, the starting pitching is not going to carry you to the promised land on its own. It's going to stumble, and when it does, you have to be there. I mean, you have to be there every day, but especially when the starting pitching isn't happening, or you have to get enough of a lead late in the game where if the middle relief stumbles a little bit, It's not critical.
You know, listening to Danny Mendick, I was also glaring out of the First Midwest Bank Studios big windows here. And you see so many different things, you know it, on State Street.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, the marquee of Chicago Theater, the Masked Singer National Tour is here. A hard pass on that. But a woman, an older woman, apparently appeared to be walking her dragonfly. She had a piece of paper in her outstretched arm, and the dragonfly was just, you know, literally hanging on the edge of the paper. And she was just concentrating to make sure that the dragonfly wasn't going anywhere, and it wasn't. And she was out just walking her dragonfly. I don't know where she was going. I don't know if it's a domestic dragonfly.
maybe look, she's a dragonfly trainer. And is a client.
I just, you know, God bless her. I don't know what else the dragonfly does. Maybe speaks a few
it's
different
just
languages.
Another beautiful day in Chicago.
Oh man,
and there's all kinds of kinds. I believe is a country song. There's all kinds of kinds. 312-332-3776. We're going to come back and hear that Matt Nagy audio. He is obviously not with the Bears anymore, but that doesn't mean he won't talk about his time with the Bears, and we're going to hear that next. It's Hanley and Zander on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Hanley and Zander up until noon. Deion Miller takes it from there with the pregame. White Sox baseball coming up at 12:40 today as they take on the Rays down in Tampa at the Trop.
And down in
Canada. I got to mention this, Brian. I had my kids and their significant others visiting for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned that you can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. They looked at me because they're all gamers, especially my son. He looked at me. He's like, "What? Wait, you're on Twitch?"
Wow.
I said, "Yes."
Elevated like, dad right there.
And,
huh?
and he's like, I said, "Yeah." And there are videos there. You could watch me in studio. It's not too exciting, but they're like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna get that. Where is that?" All of a sudden, they want to experience dad on sports radio because
you're on Twitch.
So we're super hip, okay?
Are you on the talk, too?
100.3 HD. What's that?
Are you on the talk, too?
Yeah, easy there.
Because it would be only like a six-second radio show on TikTok, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure what the talk will do for me. But we're also at 100.3 HD2 in the ESPN 1000 Chicago app. But they were all about it on Twitch.
Well, that's cool.
So, yes, we are on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Now, Matt Nagy. He was talking to the press down in Kansas City.
Yeah, it was the first time we've seen or heard from Matt since the Bears finally realized that he wasn't the offensive
it's
guru.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a while. We needed a break.
Has his big mansion with the basketball court sold yet with the Chicago Bears logo all through the house? Has that sold?
You know, I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I can't.
You didn't put
I,
an
I
offer in?
Sure. You know what? I thought about it, but all of those menus in that one room, all those dang
menus,
and
all the play
cards. That was a turnoff for me.
Yeah,
because I know very few of them were responsible for a win.
Well, not
so
only that,
I was totally turned off.
So he goes back to Kansas City because Andy Reid, you know, felt sorry for him, I guess.
But right.
He's now the senior assistant and quarterbacks coach because he was the quarterbacks coach, not the offensive coordinator when Ryan Pace thought he had found the next great play caller and offensive mind, even though I can't still believe he was the head coach at one, the coach of the year at one point. But anyway, that title tells you he will be
known. Everybody.
Yeah, that title tells you senior assistant quarterbacks coach. He doesn't need the big Denny's menu anymore because no one in Kansas City is going to allow him close to play calling, right?
Right.
But the Kansas City media, he was up at the podium with the big Kansas City Chiefs logos, all across the backdrop. And Matt Nagy was asked about how the experience here in Chicago is going to make him a better coach, person, who knows. But he had an answer because it always does.
You know, you have highs and lows and you learn, and you have so many different hats that you put on in that time. And you learn a lot and you rely on the experiences that you went through. And they're real life experiences. So I didn't have that when I went into my interview with Chicago. But I had 4 years worth of real life experiences of a lot of different situations, offense, defense, special teams, how to deal with players, how to deal with media, how to deal with winning, you know, these conversations right here after a win or a loss. And what it does is it really allows you to grow, but it puts things into perspective. And I think in life, for me, a lot of my failures that I've had, I've tried to use to the best of my ability to make me better, whether it was as a player, throwing a pick, learning from it, or as a coach, as you go through things, you want to use those experiences to make you better in the long run. And I feel like I'm still young in this profession, and I want to use my experiences in Chicago to help me be better here for our team here in Kansas City with Coach Reed, with EB, with Patrick, with Brett Veach, with everybody here. And there's a little bit of humility that you have to do this, but I really cherish it because you're doing it with good people. To be back with Coach Reed, to be back with Eric Bieniemy, the rest of the coaches on this offensive staff, it's awesome. And they're just good people that do things the right way. And it's exciting for me. It's fun. And it's refreshing. So I want to use this to be able to give back any way I can.
Yeah, you know, we've said it, Mark, time and again.
Playing the right way.
Yeah. Time and again, we've said that he's a very nice guy. You probably wouldn't mind living next door to him. Well, one, because his yard would be keep him at a distance because he had the big palatial estate up there. But no, he seems like a nice guy, and you know, you wouldn't mind him as a neighbor. You just don't want him as your play caller and the guy drawing up your offensive schemes, because Ryan Pace did him no favors with the quarterbacks he gave him time and again. And but he had to fire himself twice from being the play caller. I mean, those are just the facts. And as we sit here today, I guarantee you two things. Ryan Pace will never be a GM in this league again. I know he's working down in Atlanta in the front office. And Matt Nagy is going to be the best Matt Nagy he can be with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid and all that. He just went through chapter and verse. Because he's never going to be a head coach again in this league. Never's a long time, but the body of work there is enough that any GM who would put him up at a podium and announce him as their head coach would, I mean, you'd have to drug test him, right? I mean,
well, and you'd have to do it behind a chicken wire. Like,
yeah.
Remember the Blues?
Yeah, the beer bottles become, yeah. I got to talk to Bob.
That is not going to happen. You're right. And with Ryan Pace working down in Atlanta in the front office, he could be running the fax machine.
Yeah. I mean, and you know,
we don't know what that really means, but you're right. Both of those people are not going to be in the positions that they were in Chicago. And
was that a backhanded jab or slap at the Bears? Because he said it's great to be in a place where they do the right things. And, you know, he basically sound like Kansas City is everything that the Bears are not.
You know, you raise a good point there, and I would challenge him to say, well, weren't you the reason why the right things weren't being done?
He was part of it. I mean, look,
he was a good part of it.
The cowardly Ryan who hid from the media, and, you know, I'll say this about Matt Nagy, and I said it throughout he took the slings and arrows, and he was there answering all the questions, as head coaches have to do.
Yeah.
But through the course of a season, and every team I covered in every league, and I did 26 years of the Sun-Times, I covered every league there was and is. And at any beat guy worth his salt or a beat woman worth her salt knows when it's time to not keep asking the head coach the same questions. It's time to talk, you know, the higher pay grade, to go talk to the GM the dysfunction or the losing or all the above.
Because sometimes you know the answer that the head coach is giving is an empty answer. You need a answer with substance, so you have to go up that next level.
Well, not only that, any GM that's worth his salt knows that there's time to take the heat off the head coach and the coaching staff, and to, you know, Theo was good at it, Jed's good at it, Rick Hahn's good at it, up and down. I mean, you know, where the Blackhawks, Bulls, most GMs, I mean, John Paxson, even Gar Forman, as clueless as he was, there are times you know that you're expected to be there at practice, available, be there in your office, door open if someone wants to come up and knock on the door and have a Q&A with you. But Ryan Pace, for whatever reason, was able to get away with, I will talk to the flagship station before the games where I know the questions are not going to be.
Softball.
Yeah, and again, not criticizing the broadcast team because they know their job, and their job is to, you know, the organization will not have them around if they don't play by the rules.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, no GM I have ever seen or covered in this town had the pass, the Ryan Pace, mandated. I'll talk to you before the season. I'll talk to you at the end of the season. And then you would see him, you know, poking his head out of the luxury suite upstairs of the, and the press level when the team was falling apart and you're on another six-game losing streak and still not available. And Matt Nagy was there, you know, tiresome, had to answer the same questions or the, you know, the same type of questions.
Right. And you know, Poles is ready to face whatever he needs to face. That is the... You know, early indicator there. As far as Matt goes, you're right. You wouldn't mind him having him as a neighbor, although if he invited you to a barbecue and he cornered you and started talking to you,
oh boy,
you'd be probably looking for a quick exit.
Yeah. I mean, you might miss dinner.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. And we've all done it. I've done it, too. But we feel like we need to preface, you know, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that's just kind of his legacy here in Chicago, because he certainly does seem like a nice guy that maybe didn't deserve what happened, but he deserved it because that opportunity was not the right one for him. Somebody crowned him with a crown that he did not deserve.
And look, you know, when you get to Ryan Poles and the new coach,
Eberflus,
Matt Eberflus. The problem is, I mean, I don't think it's a big problem because I think the early returns, you have confidence in these two guys that they're going to get it done. But the fact of the matter is, the Bears continually go and hire guys who are doing their job for the first time. And there are growing pains. Now, hopefully,
with the exception of John Fox.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, right. But, I mean, you know, go back to Lovey and Jerry Angelo.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, Phil Emery and his synergy. I mean, and you know, for the most part, over the last 20 years, the Bears have had guys learning on the job. And many times, both the GM coach simultaneously. So hopefully that the new duo is going to get the job done sooner than later. But no one knows what that timeline looks like right now.
Right. And we've been warned, even by Ryan Poles, that this is not, you know, Super
Bowl. No, it's not an overnight fix.
Yeah, it is not an overnight fix. It's going to be a while. But, you know, what we've seen him do so far, we have reason for hope. And Matt is in the rearview mirror. But, you know, he's still giving the word salad down in Kansas City. They should enjoy that. Yeah. Although he's not going to get the opportunity like he did to talk to the media. Up here.
I'll tell you what I've got upcoming this week.
And
when we come back from the break, I'll tell you what I've got coming up this week, and I don't think it's going to be all that enjoyable. I want to hear if you've ever had to go through this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, my mind's racing now. Looking forward to it. We'll be back to do that and wrap up the Twitter poll and get ready for Dion Miller coming in with the White Sox pregame. White Sox taking on Tampa Bay this afternoon, 12:40 start. We've got our own Connor McKnight on the call, Ryan Yarbrough on the bump for the Rays. We've got Lucas Giolito pitching for the White Sox. We'll be right back on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Mark Zander, Brian Hanley back here on ESPN 1000. Thanks for making us part of your Sunday morning. And we always enjoy spending time talking sports with you. And I won't be enjoying the week too much, Mark.
No.
I got summonsed a couple weeks ago. I got a very thick envelope in the paper or in the mail, snail mail. And it's like when you were applying to colleges, you hope the return envelope was big and thick because it means you got accepted instead of the one page thanks, but you know, we'll put you on hold because you're not good enough. And it's from the Northern District Court, Federal Court of Illinois. And I open it up and it's about 10 pages of you're on call for jury duty, and here's, you know, everything you need to do and be aware of and what time. And so Friday night, I had to start calling to see, and you get a recording, you punch in your number to see if you're actually have to show up.
Yep.
And I have to show up tomorrow morning.
Congratulations.
Now, in the fine print, and I told a buddy of mine this. He said, oh, yeah, I got one of those. I said, did you have to serve? He says, no, I threw it right in the shredder. I'm like, okay. I when reading the whole thing on the 10 pages, it was, you know, the threats of not, you know.
He definitely did not say feel free to
throw it in the
shredder.
And he said, well, his lawyer told him that, you know, theoretically they could issue an arrest warrant. But, I mean, you have to go online and fill out a questionnaire, you know, have you ever been convicted of, you know, whatever. And but anyway, so, I mean, I did all the things, and of course now I have to go. And when you read this thing, it says you will be required. If I hadn't been told on Friday by the recording that I show up tomorrow, I would have had to call every night this week to see if I had to show up on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I've been through that dance as well.
I've served on three juries already, okay? It's been 20 years.
Oh, boy, you're a veteran. Good for you.
I no, not good for me. I mean, I think everyone should do it once, and I actually do believe it's your civic duty.
Okay, so you're voting for do it once, check the box, leave me alone.
I mean, three times you ought to get out of jail free card. I mean, you'll get out of a jury duty free card. But it says you're going to have to be there for the minimum of a week or a trial, whichever lasts longer. So theoretically, you could get, two trials in a week, or you could get one trial last 2 months. You know, it's like, how do you just put your life on hold if you get one of those that are going to take
it
forever?
It is amazing, and I'm knocking on everything here because I have been through that, and I went through the call, show up, be dressed and ready, and this is right when COVID broke, so it's like we're in a room, a huge room, and there are all chairs separated, everybody in masks just waiting there, waiting to hear their fate, and I got my number called, and my number was part of the batch of numbers called to say go home.
Oh, you see, you're lucky.
And you're lucky. That's because, why I'm knocking on stuff.
You know,
that could happen to you.
I've served on two county juries, and the same thing, right? You know, if you get dismissed, that's it. I mean, it's one day, right? It's not like you get to sit around for a week and maybe
and keep getting dismissed. No, when you get dismissed, you're good.
In federal, they just send you back to the room, and so you're putting in your 8-hour days. And I'm like, man, this is. I've served on one federal jury. It was, you know, again, 25 years ago, probably, and it lasted all 2 or 3 days. And the other two, one lasted a week and one lasted a couple of days. But I don't remember you being told that you were going to stick around a week if you didn't get called. You're hoping your number is okay. You can go home, and we'll hopefully never hear from you again.
Right.
But it's. You know, everyone I've told about this immediately starts telling me what I need to say to get out of jury duty.
To get out of, right.
Like, stand up and say, I think everyone's guilty. If they're here, they're here for a reason. I mean, just, you know, start saying stuff, you know.
You could always do what Ted Nugent did and just soil yourself. But he got out of the Vietnam War, I believe.
Oh, for love of God. Now I'm not going to have lunch. Right. Wow. I mean, but everyone's here's what you say, because this woman was answering questions before they got to me, and I'm like, damn, she took my story. So, you know, you have to think on your feet because she got dismissed, and you know, unfortunately, there's only probably a few stories that you can have to you know.
The one time I got called and I had to answer the questions, I was a student at Columbia College here downtown. And as soon as they said, are you a student? I said, yes, I'm a full-time student at Columbia College. They said, thank you. You're dismissed.
Wow.
Like, okay.
Maybe I'll try that. I'll try that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm 30 years down the line, and I'm not sure if
you
that's
look a little look a little old to be a student, but I'll try that one.
You're dismissed.
Yeah, and we are dismissed. White Sox pregame coming up with Dion Miller right here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you later, Mr. Zander.
Yep, we'll talk to you then. Go Sox.